Tonight we begin our Lenten journey, a journey in which we are called to follow Jesus towards and then through his passion as we prepare ourselves to experience anew our salvation at Easter. And so throughout the next 40 weekdays and 6 Sundays, each of us is called to reflect not only upon the greatness of our need for salvation, but also on the tremendous sacrifice that was made in order to make that salvation a reality. We are called as well to focus not only on the sacrifice of Christ, which alone could save us, but also on the sacrifices that following Christ through life and death and resurrection demands of each of us. And tonight we begin this Lenten journey by sharing in an ancient ritual, a ritual of ashes, a ritual that in many ways serves to remind us of precisely who and what we are. For as the ashes are imposed upon our foreheads this evening, we will hear again those words drawn from the creation narrative in Genesis, words that remind us that we are dust, formed of the earth by God, and that to dust we shall return. My physical body, like yours, is in essence formed of the dust of the earth. We are part of that great carbon chain that is creation. And when my physical body dies, like yours will also, it will descend once again to the earth from which it came. And it doesn't matter at death whether our remains are cremated or buried in a stainless steel casket. All of us, in time, will return to the earth. All of us, in time, will quite literally be pushing up daisies. But that's not all there is to the story of life and of death and daisies. Because the same scripture passage in Genesis that tells us we are formed by God from the dust of the earth also tells us that we are dust into which God has breathed God's divine and life-giving breath. And we are dust, therefore, that bears the Spirit of the living God. We are dust that has been made rich beyond all measure with the divine life and breath of the God of all creation. These two truths, which are sounded as part of the drama of creation, are truths that stand together eternally. The truths that we are dust and that we are dust that bears the Spirit of God are inseparable truths, and they form the very mystery of our human nature, and they also form the very foundation of our divine hope. Because the human being is far more than just a physical entity. Each of us is also something truly sacred. And so tonight, we begin our Lenten journey by sharing in this ancient ritual of ashes that, as I mentioned a moment ago, reminds us of precisely who and what we are. What we are, quite simply, is dust of the earth formed by God. And who we are, quite profoundly, is dust that bears the Spirit of the God who created us. And we are each in need of being reminded of these realities from time to time. Because there is so much within our nature and in our culture that seeks to deny these truths. We have seemingly endless ways of deluding ourselves into believing that it is we, in fact, who are in charge of our own destiny. It is all too easy to become mesmerized by our human achievements, by our awe-inspiring discoveries, and even by our accumulation of power and wealth, that we run the risk of forgetting what we really are. We all too often place ourselves at the center of the universe rather than acknowledging God as its center. We marvel in our own creativity and forget that we are in fact a part of God's creation. And once we've forgotten what we are, forgetting who we are soon follows. As a human family and as individuals within it, we lie and we cheat and exploit, we hoard and we hate and we hurt, and by doing so we are guilty of denying or diminishing that Spirit of God that dwells in us and that dwells within all those whom we allow to be victimized, marginalized, or persecuted, the poor and the homeless, the displaced and the destitute, refugees and asylum seekers. And so the Ash Wednesday liturgy is kind of like a warning we are each in need of hearing from time to time, because we are dust, and to dust we shall return. And if we continue to deny our mortality, and if we continue to ignore God's Spirit which dwells within us and within all God's children, then the dust may well be our only destiny, eternally and forever. As we heard from the prophet Joel tonight, the day of the Lord's reckoning will most assuredly one day come. And on that day, we will each stand before the God who created us in love and who lovingly bestowed this life-giving Spirit upon us. We will stand before God and give account for our failures to share that love and to celebrate that life with one another and with God's children throughout the world. Many scholars suggest that the prophet Joel lived about 4 centuries before Jesus, at a time when the people of God had fought their way back following the invasion and destruction of their beloved homeland and following their long and difficult exile in Babylon. And while those people of God had unquestionably accomplished a very great deal since their return from exile, the prophet Joel feared that they had paid a very high price in the process. While they had gained quantitatively, if you will, they had also lost qualitatively. And so Joel felt certain that there would be a day of reckoning ahead for them. And not just a time of economic or of political reckoning, but a time of reckoning with God. And Joel called this time of reckoning the day of the Lord. And his description of this coming retribution was indeed chilling. And in the face of this coming doom, which Joel had prophesied, Joel called upon his society to reform itself, to recognize its failings and to repent, to return to its truest self and to God. This prophecy of Joel is nearly 2,400 years old, and yet in some ways it is as contemporary as our modern-day headlines. No generation has perhaps known more than ours how dark and terrible the future can sometimes seem, as we wrestle with our own seemingly intractable moral and environmental demands, and as the consequences of ignoring those demands assume greater and greater menace for all of us. It is not the will of God that millions of innocents be displaced from their homes and from their homelands because of terrorism and warfare. It is not the will of God that millions go hungry while whole tracts of the earth writhe under the exploitation of our human endeavors. It is not the will of God that our humanity be forced to live under the shadow of its own ability to effect global extinction. None of these things is the will of God, and yet all of these things are the potential consequences of the day of the Lord for us. All of these things are sufficient for us to sanctify a fast, for us to call the solemn assembly, for us to gather the people as we have done here tonight. And I earnestly pray that this ancient ritual of ashes we share in tonight will be a sober time for thought and reflection for each of us as we embark on our Lenten journey together toward a renewed experience of our salvation at Easter. And so as we begin our preparations for the Easter celebration that lies beyond this Lenten season, I challenge each of us, in the name of Christ, by whose life we have been shown how to live, by whose death our brokenness has been healed and overcome, and by whose resurrection we have been given eternal hope, I challenge us, in the name of Jesus, to keep a holy Lent, a time of fasting and of penitence and prayer, a time for growing daily in our knowledge of God's love for us and for growing daily in our love for one another, and for all God's children. Amen.